AF Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
Hello, and welcome to Catnap Dialogues. Thank you for listening in. Anyhow, let's get back to the interviews. Oh, and happy Valentine's Day!
So very quickly, can you tell me what your name is and how you say it and how old are you? And tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Milo, for having me. So my name is Ulises or Ulysses or Ulisse or Ulis. I am, so my family calls me Ulises, which is my Spanish name. My name is Ulises Jose. Like, that's what my family calls me, Ulises Jose. So I'm 23, and I would say I'm from New York. If I say I'm from New York, I don't claim much from New York and San Juan de la Maguana, which is where my grandparents are from. Those are the two places I claim. I studied international relations. Like, my passion was always to, like, study governments and languages and all that. So I made it a mission when I was a little kid that I was gonna learn a bunch of languages, and I've only gotten to like three and I'm forgetting the fourth. My mom had me pretty young. When my mom had me, the second I was able to have a passport, I moved back to my grandparents in San Juan de la Maguana.
Can you tell people where that is? What country that is?
Yeah, so the island of Hispaniola is the second biggest island in the Caribbean after Cuba, and it is one of the two islands where two sovereign nations or three. But it's divided into Haiti and the Dominican Republic. My family is from the geographical center of the Dominican Republic. So like there's a lot of like Native American, like, you know, like artifacts about how like this is where they would hold together like their island-wide meetings of different chiefs. It was in that town in San Juan de la Maguana. It's in the mountains. In the mountain valley, but it's 1,000 meters above sea level. So during the day, it would be 90 degrees, but at nighttime, it is 60 degrees and people wear sweaters. It's a rice growing region that's changing right now. So you would be surprised. You walk outside, you just see rice paddies everywhere.
And can you tell me, this is, where were you born?
I was born in the Metropolitan Hospital in New York City.
So like some folks, you were born here and then you were taken back to your homeland.
Yeah.
Or to a foreign country. Where do you consider yourself from when people tell you, like, hey, where are you from?
So a lot of, I tailor, but personally, right, if I'm in DR, they ask me where I'm from, I'll either say I'm from New York City or from San Juan, right? From San Juan de la Maguana. Because I have a very regional Dominican accent when I speak in Spanish, that if you're in the Dominican Republic, you automatically know where my family's from. Because I was raised by my grandparents, right? So I had the more like, you know, the more countryside accent because my grandparents were of the generation that moved from the countryside to the city. But if I'm in the US, I say I'm from New York City. My US experience has been, I've been a lot around the US, but the only place that I conceivably compare myself to and think of myself is a New York kid. I'm a New York kid. I grew up, I lived for most of my life in the Bronx right now, but my entire like existence, given that most of my family lives in Manhattan, in the Heights, right? So I've been in the Heights and Dyckman. So I would say I'm from New York City.
Hey man, everybody has their own identity. I have people like myself. I was raised in Canada and I learned English and French before I could learn Spanish. So I usually say, hey, I'm from Canada. So, you know, I grew up bilingual. Right. But then I had my mom who tried to talk to me in Spanish, which I didn't get to learn until later in life. Mm-hmm. So I identify very much so with the culture and the politeness that Canada has. Mm-hmm. And I do have a sense of pride when it comes to Peruvian food because it's really good. So,
oh, Peruvian food is magical.
it's cruel to compare it to other countries. I think it's up there with India just because I know that for the past 5 years it has won gastronomical best foods of the world or something. Anyways, so currently what are you doing for a living?
I could do it, but right now I'm looking into kind of helping, looking at the startup space in Latin America, but we'll see where that goes.
And okay, so that's pretty cool. Where did you go to school, did you say?
Yo, I actually have a very interesting like school, like college. I went to Brown University. I'm in Providence. So my school journey, I've always been a nerd. First and foremost, I've always been a nerd. But in my school journey, so when I came here to the US, I went to a school, PS5, which is right in the upper tip of Manhattan, right in Dyckman. And I went to bilingual classes, of course, because I did not speak English. And it was so interesting. I remember so many times that I would, like, for example, one time, there was a song that was popping once that was like, I was like, do you want to be my B-A-B-Y? And I was just like, what does that mean? And I would just go up to my teacher and be like, what does that mean? And they would be like, I didn't speak English like that. So, but it was, I loved my class. I loved my bilingual class. But my third period, my third grade class, which is the one. So my bilingual class, almost the kids were Mexican and Dominican and Puerto Rican. The way that the class structure was so I was with the same kids from first grade, same kids in second grade. But in third grade, so this is actually something crazy, right? My marks were very high, my grades. So they were like, oh, we're gonna move you out of the bilingual class. Your grades are really high, move out of the bilingual class. So they moved me to my third grade class. And that was the first time I had an actual ESL class, which was horrible. I did not learn any English in that ESL class. We learned about China. Because why? All the kids had already been neglected. They learned English on their own at that point. They had been in the country for 3 years. And then my teacher just stopped pronouncing my name correctly. At that point, I was going by Ulises. And then from then on, I was a nerdy kid. I ended up going to this math and technology school. I transferred out in Harlem. And then from there, I got into this program, Prep for Prep. Essentially through them, I was able to go through a prep school in New York City. And then from there, I got into Brown University. My mind is stuck in like all these worlds, right? There's like my Dominican side, my Black American side, because frankly, given where I am, that's who I associate myself with. And then all the spaces, all these white spaces where I've spent a lot of my education in.
How many years would you say you've been living in the United States? Is it your age minus 6 years old, 6 years or?
I do my age minus six, so I'll say 17.
And what would you say is your first language?
Spanish. Spanish is my first language. Up until I graduated from high school, Spanish was what I spoke with my best friends, is what I spoke with my mother, is how I communicate with my grandparents, right? My father refuses to talk to me if I don't speak to him in Spanish. My Spanish and my English are like at similar levels. Not too good, but they're still similar levels.
My sister talks about that with her husband in one of the interviews. They feel like they were robbed. Not in the same way that you experienced your language learning, right? But for them, it was like they got taken out of their countries when they were teenagers or like preteens, so like 12 years old. So they didn't get all of it, but also they feel like they're not very fluent in English as well. And so it's kind of like they're both there, but it's not 100% proficiency in either or. I don't understand that because I spoke English and French, and then I learned Spanish.
I think it's very interesting. I don't know. I feel like I am in a space, right? At least in the Heights and Indictment, you're in a space where you're confronted with Spanish at all times, where everyone's speaking Spanish. Like, you know, like, right. So I feel like I've had, like, growing up around here, I've had a lot of times to practice my Spanish. And the way that I look in New York City, you will look at me and you automatically will be like, oh, that's a Dominican guy. Like a Dominican person will look at me and be like, that guy's Dominican. I'm gonna talk to him in Spanish, like automatically. When I was in
Dominicans
Brown,
look at me and they
and talk to be like, you're Dominican. yeah, exactly. exactly. So it's a thing, right? Dominicans will approach you. And if you look some sort of, like if you look non-white, they will be like, okay, this person's Dominican.
Hola, chico, dime.
Hola, chico, que lo que? Que lo que, manito? Yeah.
So Spanish is your first language. You came, it was a culture shock, it was a little messed up. How many languages do you speak? You did say that you speak four. What's up?
Three, losing the fourth, right? So I speak Spanish and English, those are my two. Falo português. Je parle un peu de français, but you know, That's the one that's escaping me. That's the one I studied in middle school and high school. So fun fact, so my French class actually had like a school trip, and they had one to France, and they had one to Quebec, and I'm like, I'm not going to France, I'm sorry. So I went to Quebec in the dead of winter. It was February, and I was like, why is it snowing every day? It is snowing every day. How are people driving in this ice?
there's a little Latin community in the heart of Montreal.
I have cousins. My stepdad's nephews, or they're little kids. They live in Quebec and they don't speak Spanish. They speak English and French. That's it. And it is crazy because like they speak English with a French accent and they speak Spanish with a French accent. They speak English and French. It's actually crazy.
I think it's admirable when I see immigrants going to Montreal. My mom immigrated to Montreal.
Powerful.
And I was mindfucked by the fact that she could speak the English, because she could speak the English and having to learn French, because it's mandatory in Canada for you to learn French in order to live in Montreal and work.
Right.
So you really don't have an option.
And I have that in my back pocket just in case things go off.
That's right. You know, but that's what happens. I went there maybe a couple months ago just to visit family and just to mess around and, you know, the Latin community. Now I'm seeing more Dominicans in the Latin quarter. And it used to be more Peruvians and South Americans, Colombians, right? It's like
Mexican. Well, everyone's like, yo, what is this? Who are these people? Why are they black and why do they speak Spanish? I don't understand.
Exactly. There's a lot of Nigerian, like African, you know, that do speak French. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely not next to us. But it's just interesting how Central Americans there's not many of them in Canada, but South Americans and Caribbean people made it out there. And like, why did you guys decide to go further down out there when you could have just gone to America? And it doesn't make the sense that Central Americans are not up here with you guys and they're in America though. Like, it just doesn't make sense because they're technically closer, right? That's just me being funny.
It makes 100% sense. In the sense of Canada with Dominicans, I know that Canada right now is like investing more than the US is in the Dominican Republic. I got a cousin that lives in Toronto and her whole job is trying to get Dominican students to move to Canada, which I think, wow. So,
¿Qué lo que?
Imagine you just driving through the streets of Toronto, like, boom, 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 boom.
Yo, that's how I noticed that you were either like Cuban or like, well, actually more Dominican, like driving through. And I was like, oh yeah, they're here.
Dominican car amping culture is insane. Around here, this is an electronic shop that has a whole part of the thing, the sound systems for your car. I'm just like, this is crazy. Respect it, but this is crazy.
yeah, it is nuts. But that's how you know, because everybody's so quiet and polite in Montreal, but then come like the Colombians and Dominicans and like the Peruvians are like, the hell? Who do we hang out with? We don't know them.
We're polite, but we're not quiet.
yeah. Ulysses, do you think that you have an accent?
You know, I honestly always don't think I have an accent, but I have heard people say I have an accent. So I might have an accent, but I don't know if it's more of a Dominican accent or it might be the accent of the second gen Dominicans that live in the neighborhood I grew up in, right? So it's the accent. I feel like my accent is the uptown, like New York, like Dykeman accent. But it's also been mixed from the fact that I've been in primarily white spaces for so long, right? That some of the intonations of the words that I say are a little more on the Caucasian side. All I know is that when it comes to Dominican students at Brown, I know all of them. All the Dominican ones, I know them because that's what we did, right? but when it comes to like changing the way you speak, as we were like kind of talking before, when I first went to like Trinity, which is this prep school in the Upper West Side, I remember I used to say axe. Like when you ask questions, you say axe, and they would be like, no, it's ask. So that when I hear some, like when I hear children say axe, I just think about like, damn, bro, that was me. Like, and that's a way that I speak that is lost. And it gives me a little nostalgia for like my childhood. You know what I mean? And another thing, like the pronouncing final, the THs at the end of words as a F, as a first sound instead of a third sound. That's something that I think about all the time, because that was also something that was just kind of drilled into me not to speak, like, right? Say the thing, and like, you know, when you're playing basketball and you score and some kid was like, oh, you're not going to make it. And you'd be like, in your mouth. But now people say, now we say mouth, math. And that like, that's something that when I hear it, I'm like, damn, that is something that I like, because, and also the fact is, like, I'm the only one out of my cousins that went to all these PWI spaces. So when I'm interacting with them, right, and I hear, I'm like, this is who I am. This is who I am. But the way that I was like kind of adapted to speak is not the same way that I grew up speaking, you know, because you adapt to the way that people speak. I know that if I were to be dropped in London for 10 years, I'll come back with a British accent. Somewhat, not completely, but somewhat, you know? I honestly think that having an accent speaking in English is the greatest thing ever. My dad always said, like, oh, that's just a flex. I speak another language. I'm like, fair, that's true.
When did you first learn how to speak and write English? When did you first learn English?
7-8, where I was like nice. When I was like, I could write a whole sentence and not be stressed. 7-8.
Okay. Yeah, this is a very gray area. There's people, you know, again, the people that were raised here, people that weren't raised here. Yesterday, my professor became very, very philosophical, and he was like, I don't know, because it's a process. So when did I really learn English? And I'm like, thank you. I'm
not fair. That's true.
Because that's it, he's like, you're looking at this research, but really, when do you get this literacy, you know, this linguistic literacy? Oh. And it's a process, man. Like, asking that question is like, like, people really don't, like, you know?
Have you ever seen, I was actually, right before I got into this conversation, there was I saw some meme. Have you seen the meme threads about, like, oh, I respect people that learn English as a second language, because imagine looking at the word yacht and not just blowing your mind, like, the word yacht, like, how do you pronounce that? I remember being like, yacht. One thing, like, this distinction in English messes me up half the time. Like, jello, yellow and jello, like, those are two words that to me, when I hear them, I know the difference, but sometimes I say them as the same thing.
Tell me about a moment or a time in which you became aware or you were made to feel different because of the way that you spoke English.
One time I was talking to my partner's acquaintance, and I was talking, I was writing a random conversation. And mind you, to this point, I didn't think I was like, I don't have an accent, like, right? Person tells me, man, you have an accent. And I was like, what you mean? And she was like, you have an accent like from an island. And I was like, Manhattan? But that was the one time I was like, damn, do I really sound different? But like the other moments when I would say words like axe, I would say mines, those were all in like middle school, in like 7th and 8th grade, when I first entered. Because before I entered a white space, most of my peers were Dominican and Mexican and Puerto Rican, right? So any of my small accent peculiarities to them, they probably hear those all the time, right? So like, it wasn't like something they would notice, because they're like, you know, that's just everyday speech to them. But yeah, it was one when I went to my PWI that I felt, not only did I feel like Hispanic, I also felt Black, right? Which is something that I didn't feel in the Dominican space. In the Dominican space, you don't feel Black unless you're an African-American, like actually like African-American, from like generationally, right? I'm African-American, but I'm African-American like this generation, you know what I mean? But that's something I felt when I went to like these PWIs. I felt not only more Hispanic, but I felt more Black. Kind of opened my eyes in a way, right? My own othering made me revisit my identity, right? Man, like as a Dominican person, man, coming, like, I cannot explain to you, like, I always tell people when it comes to like a racial reckoning, I'm like, there was a moment where I realized I was Black. Like, there was a moment, and when I was like 10, 12, and I was like, I'm Black. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was in prep. I was just talking to one of my advisors about like all the preconceived like anti-blackness that like is just spread nonchalantly in a lot of Dominican circles. And then he just asked me a lot of like questions like blah, 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 blah. And what do you think now, right? Like, cause a lot of these things are like, oh, like black people are inferior in a lot of like, that is a lot of the things that were drilled into me when I was a little kid.
And that was in this program. And I think that's a big Latin American thing.
And that was in this area. And this man just looked at me and was like, what do you think now of your peers? And I was like, these people are smart. and then from that point, I'm like, when I look in the mirror or when a cop sees me, what do they see? I look more like a black man and the average black man in America than I look like the president of the Dominican Republic. And at that point, I was like, those founding fathers don't look like me. Dominicans have crazy sayings. My grandma always used to say, el que come en la cama y canta en la mesa, poco juicio tiene en la cabeza. I mean, it's like, where you come out with it? You come out with this.
I had so much fun growing up around you guys and the food. But anyway.
Yo, honestly, el pueblo dominicano is like el pueblo más ocurrente. I always tell my partner, Dominican like humor is like, imagine you were 16 and your sense of humor is still as belligerent as if you were 16 and just as stupid. They say mad foolish things that if it's said in as English, you'd be like, what's wrong with you? But if you say it in a Dominican accent, you're like, that's hilarious.
And bluntly, which is something we unfortunately in South America, or at least in Peru, we've been colonized to be quiet and like, you know, shut your mouth if you're not white, if you're black and brown, or Indio, like, you know, whereas you guys like,
what's it called? And you know what was one of the weirdest things when I met South American Spanish speakers, or even Central American Spanish speakers, or even non like Caribbean Spanish speakers, the whole mande. Like mande to repeat that. I'm like, yo, what is this mande? ¿De qué me va a mandar? Yo no te voy a mandar nada. Yo te estoy pidiendo que me haga una cosa. That's it. No mande, bro.
Yeah, I never understood that. I think that's a Central American thing. Nobody says mande. Like, mande. Bro. I'm like, that's some colonizing shit right there.
Some colonizing shit, bro. Literally some colonizing shit. Yo, what? What?
It's like when I learned what big old masa was.
What's that?
Well,
English. I was like, in Spanish? Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah, I know what that is.
I was like, yeah, big old masa. And I'm like, wait, what? And then like...
Well, what am I saying?
Yeah, what am I saying? I'm like...
Let me take that back.
But I realized when people started to make fun of my hair, that like, oh, you have negro hair.
Negro hair, not pelo malo.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in Peruvians, like, they can be very classist. And, you know, I used to straighten my hair. Like, I used to straighten my hair so much because I wanted to.
And I was never, when I was a little kid, I never grew my hair up. It was always buzzed. Yeah. As a matter of fact, when I came from college, I was in DR, and it was like with my uncle, all of my mom's siblings, and all my dad's siblings moved to the New York area, except for my uncle, and he stayed in DR. He has a bunch of kids, all of them married a bunch of white women, you know, because exactly. So he's still on that. I was there, and I was there with my grandfather and all those people, and I was just like, they were like, yo, why don't you cut your hair? They're like, fix your hair, blah, 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 blah. And I went up to my grandfather, who's bald, and I was like, yeah, te caballo en tu cabeza. And he was like, damn. I'm actually particularly outspoken in my family, because someone's got to do it.
That's me. I'm the black sheep because I'm the outspoken one.
Same thing.
You know, so it's culturally not acceptable in our culture. We tend to be like very quiet, like
very filial piety. Like if your father or grandparents said something, that's it. That's the law.
That's the law.
Yeah. A lot of times they be saying the wrong thing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and I have tattoos, so which makes it.
Oh, man. Oh, delincuente. Delincuente.
And like, fix your hair, pelo negro, you know, bembón, which I'm not sure if you heard of that, but
oh, bemba, claro.
When you are want to express your feelings, let's say you wanna, you're angry or you just wanna open up about something that's bothering you with significant other or your family, what language do you prefer using?
So when it's like something like it's a normal conversation, I would talk to you like in English. But it is something out of the blue, like very emotional, I would say in Spanish. Right? Like if I'm falling without like if I trip and I'm falling, like out of context, all my friends make fun of me for it, but I'd be like, ay me caigo. Always. Ay me caigo. Like
I'm such a viejo. What happened to ay coño? Like, no.
Wait. That's another one. That's the coño is when I got stubbed or when I'm mad, I'd be like, coño. And if I'm really upset, I'm like, yo, bro. Ah! Yo.
All right.
Or be like, cállate. Cállate la maldita boca. There's maldito
coño. Aqueroso.
Aqueroso. Aqueroso. Entonces, aqueroso, azaroso. Aqueroso. Yo sí era aqueroso. Es como una ametralladora. That's how Dominicans speak.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people that complain about the velocity and that you guys marry. So what you were talking about, like those little things that you say yellow, or those are called like yellow, or like I say pint because I hear the pronunciation. Those are called idiolects. So everybody has unique sets of idiolects. Nobody's idiolects are the same ever in the world. We can find patterns that you and I may have similar ones. Mm-hmm. And that's how we develop, you know, ESL programs or like, etc. for like, what are we gonna teach people, right? But it's very unique to you because your experience is unique and you're unique. And so your speech is going to be unique. Nobody speaks like you. There's like similarities, right? Because we're culturally and linguistically.
Right, in same circles, kind of, yeah.
In same circles, but your idiolects, the little pieces of phonemes, of how you're saying things, are individual to you and always will be. Just saying that. And I guess the only last remark are, is there anything you would like to share about your country? Stereotypes that you would like to debunk? Food, culture, anything that you would like to say, comment about that you think you're missing? Educate the public, please, on Dominican culture.
So, first of all, first things first, the Dominican Republic and Haiti, the same people. I'm sorry, I said it. We're the same people, speak different languages, the same people. I said it. Come in the chat, come in the comments. Juan Pablo Duarte, I don't know why we like him so much. He was exiled to Venezuela and died of tuberculosis over there. The second president sold us back to Spain, so you know I don't fuck with him. Sanchez, he was mixed. They strained his nose and all the national things. Y'all need to fix your penal code because y'all fixed it. Y'all changed it and it's not cute right now. I'm sorry. Fifth, Abinader, how are you going to get Teslas all over all over DR? Fix the public school system first. Five, if you're a Dominican citizen and an American citizen, I don't understand why you vote for the Dominican election and not the American ones. None of my business. Six, in the 1960s, when we were invaded by the gringos, guess what? Most of the people were from Brazil. So keep that in mind. That's it. That's it. Oh, yeah. Y'all need to fix your abortion laws. You know that there was this NGO that posted this thing about this girl that, like, was assaulted by her uncle. And she was 12. And she became pregnant. And they were like, child pornography. Take that down. I'm like, that is not what this is, bro. This is not what it is, government. Yeah, that's it. That's my rant.
All right, man.
I'm going to get this on. Catch the Dominican government, hear your podcast. And I'm just never going to be allowed in that country again, yo.
They're not even going to let me in for a first time, probably. But thank you so much, Ulises, for opening up and sharing and being vulnerable and representing not only one but two groups of minorities. It's why I do this. I want other people to hear your story and feel related and feel like they're not on their own. Their experiences are not unique and they shouldn't be depressed or sad about it. Like, there's more people like them and who are perfectly capable of going to school and navigate these hard spaces.
Thank you so much, Matt.
And that's all for today. I won't throw out random facts because Ulises did a lot of that work for me. Anyhow, until next time. This episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone. Music by Pixel Pig, Luke Rimbo, and Dixon Wax. Until next time.